Guys from Corners Unknown, episode 4. I'm Ryan, and I'm here with Connor. We got 3 records to discuss. We have Non Sun's Black Snow Desert, Apophis's Devoratus, and Hezalel's In the World of the Anesthetist. So, where do you want to start the conversation, man?
Let's start with Black Snow Desert.
Okay, cool.
Anyways, yeah. Black Snow Desert is a kind of a doom metal experimental drone band from Lviv, Ukraine.
It's pronounced Lviv, apparently.
Lviv. Huh.
Yeah, that's. I did some searching on the web for that just to make sure I got that right this time.
Okay. Well, yeah, they were founded in 2011.
Mm-hmm.
And Black Snow Desert actually had an original release in 2016.
That's right.
But they remastered the album on January 25th, 2018. The remastered version came out.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm glad you ended up finding this record. This one totally flew under my radar when it originally came out, and this is kind of a nice way to speak about the record again. You know, past its release date. And I think they essentially repurposed Black Snow Desert for a vinyl release. And to my knowledge, they remastered and kind of fixed up some of the way the album sounds. And then they also dropped one of the songs titled Crystal Empty from their 2016 album for this release. So it's a little more succinct. But yeah. So what'd you think about this one, man?
Dude. Mind-blowing. Like, I can go back in time and make this one of my favorite albums from 2016.
Yeah.
And it already has a spot for my favorite album, 2018.
For sure.
This is heavy and beautiful.
Yeah, what are some of the general feelings you get from it?
We're sitting there, a lot of it starts off kind of slow pace, they kind of have a drone sound, and then you just get the sludgy, heavy guitar riffs, and just the slow drum beats that just build up. I don't know, I just found myself listening to this over and over again.
Yeah, it's very mesmerizing to listen to. I kind of liked when I was thinking about it, I equated it almost to like a mirage in the desert that just kind of keeps drawing you further and further into like the plains of like the windswept sand dunes and all that. Yep.
Well, the way the band themselves describe it, this is what they have on their little page.
Mm-hmm.
It's not an ordinary album. It's a journey.
Mm-hmm.
A long and hard trip with a heavy heart and longing spirit. But those patient and open-minded will eventually be rewarded. It's the music from behind the wall of sleep. And it doesn't matter on which side you are while listening to it.
Yeah.
Couldn't agree any more than that.
Yeah, no, that's very succinct. They described that very well. Were there any particular, or what were some tracks or some moments that really stood out to you?
Well, it's crazy. The album's only 6 tracks, but it's almost an hour long.
Yeah.
I think it's about 59 minutes.
Yeah, it's huge. It's a huge album front to back.
I mean, each song is pretty amazing. Like the first track, No Pity for the Beast, No Shelter for the Innocent.
Yeah.
This is the song titles alone, dude.
The song titles,
They're pretty cool. But that one's kind of slow. That's like what they're talking about, the long journey.
Yeah.
Where it's kind of builds up slow. There's like lots of kind of drone sounds. And then some drum cymbals kick in.
Mm-hmm.
Which is like, oh, this is kind of cool.
Yeah.
Starts to get that mesmerizing feel.
Yep.
And then about halfway through the song, the instruments kick in. And it's just those slow but just hard-hitting guitars and bass. And it's just like...
Yeah, no. It's good stuff, and that song is pretty remarkable in that the way it opens with such a long drone piece, and then it builds up. It almost, it gives me this post-rock vibe, almost like Russian Circles in a way.
Uh-huh.
And it kind of builds up, and then it smolders and disappears and falls to complete silence for a few seconds, and then it kind of blossoms out again into like this super heavy, melodic, ethereal sort of, you know, it just kind of hits this amazingly high when you're listening to it. Uh-huh. Very meditative and soothing. But yeah, no, this the opening track really sinks its teeth into you, and after that it's kind of, yeah, it really
it just keeps building and building.
Yeah.
Great piece of work.
Yeah, it kind of reminds, in a way, not maybe like length, and in a sense it vaguely reminds me of Sleep's Dope Smoker, in the sense that it's not, you know, it's not the same riff, but it just kind of has this very mesmerizing quality to it, and it's just, it's not repetitive, but it's such an alluring record, and it traverses so many different genres. You know, you, like you said, you got the drone, and then you got like the sludge and the doom and the ambience going on. There's a lot. There's a ton to take in. I feel like I need to listen to it 30 more times to be able to fully absorb and understand what's going on.
There's even cowbell, I noticed.
Yeah.
Do you notice that?
Yeah.
Track two?
Yeah, yeah.
Ashes of Light, Demons of Justice. Yeah. I'm like, this is some of the best cowbell I've ever heard.
Yeah, I'm glad. Yeah. Yeah, I almost forgot about that, actually. That's funny that you bring that up.
I think it's in track three also.
Is it?
Which is my favorite track, Peace of Decay and Joy of Collapse.
Oh, is it? What about that song sticks out to you?
The guitars. Just those heavy riffs are just,
yeah,
blow me away.
Yeah. Yeah, that's something that this record's really good at, kind of building these mammoth riffs that just kind of undulate and just get larger and larger and just kind of sweep you up in like these sandstorms of drone and such. It's awesome.
And then track five, Observing the Absurd.
Yeah, yeah.
That one had this really trippy kind of dreamlike feel.
Yeah, yeah. That one really did. And that was, I could be blowing smoke, but for some, the name of the track, for some reason I thought it was a reference to Albert Camus, the French philosopher, you know, like the absurdity of the world, or kind of like the indifference of the world, kind of like, you know, like, mm-hmm, the heat of the desert, and it kind of, this strange radiating,
yeah, it had like this weird high-pitched feedback throughout,
yeah,
the song too.
Yeah, 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 definitely. Yeah, it's that's a pretty beautiful song. I really dig that one.
And then the last track, Rest of Tragedy.
Mm-hmm.
It had this kind of like rubber banding sound, you know what I mean? Like, just, I don't know how to like say it. The guitars, like the way they're like moving the strings.
Are they like bending the strings or something like that? I'm having a hard time recollecting that exact.
Yeah, I would have to, we'd have to listen to the song again.
Okay.
And also notice that it kind of has like this jazzy sound to it too. I don't know if you noticed that.
No, I don't. I think I'd have to go back and listen to that one front to back again to really get that effect. But
yeah, it's like the first half of the track.
Okay. Okay. Cool. Yeah, and this is a for what's remarkable about this release as well is this band is just a two-piece, and when they go play live, they bring in somebody else to do I believe guitar work or bass work. I wasn't able to figure that out, but for how loud and epic and just, you know, just how massive a sound these guys get with two people, it's pretty profound.
I'm always blown away when a couple guys can create such a crazy thing.
Yeah, and it in a strange way, it seems to be, again, I think hearkening back to a previous episode, I noted there were a couple band, there was, I think I said something to the effect of there was a band or two, or there seems to be kind of a breadth of bands that are two or three piece that make these massive records. You know, and these guys are definitely on par with that sentiment, just being able to create such a huge record with just, you know, just guitar, bass, and drums. It's pretty amazing. Would you recommend folks check this one out?
Hands down, this is one of the best albums I've heard in a long time.
Yeah.
And one side note, I noticed while I did some research, some of their music was used in a historical drama.
Really?
A Ukrainian historical drama called Alive in 2016.
Whoa. What was that about? Yeah.
It's about the Ukrainian insurgent army fighting the Soviets in the 1950s.
Really?
I was like, what? And I guess this girl has like weird supernatural powers to kind of, I don't know, see the future or something.
What a trip.
The film itself might be checking out, like worth checking out.
Huh.
I'm like, huh.
And they used, I wonder, do you know what song they used?
I don't think they used any music from this. I'm not sure.
Oh, okay.
They might have made music for it.
I see.
I didn't figure that out, but it's definitely worth looking into.
That's very interesting, huh? I'll have to definitely have to go check that out.
I was like, what?
Yeah. Well, shoot, would you, what should we play a small slice of for listeners?
It's a hard decision. I mean,
the whole thing. Let's just do the whole thing.
Yeah, the whole thing.
Yeah,
the whole
let's just do the whole thing.
All,
front to back.
The whole hour worth.
The episode's over.
I don't know, I mean, I really liked Piece of Decay, Joy of Collapse.
Okay. We'll play a small clip of that one for you folks. What do you want to talk about next, man?
Let's see how will I butcher this one. I think we should talk about Apophysis Devaratus.
Devaratus, yeah. I can never get like a Latin accent correct.
No, we probably sound like total ignorant.
Yeah,
dorks.
We definitely sound. We'll get better as time goes on, I think.
But yeah.
Yeah, you found it. You found these guys, right?
Mm-hmm. Apophysis is a death metal band from the Netherlands that were created in 2012.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is their second release.
Yeah. Yeah. So
they released
the
full album.
Yeah, so they had one record which came out in April 2015. I think that they had a demo preceding that, but their first LP is titled Prime Incursion. And yeah, this band is a five piece, and there are, I think, a handful of the members in this band are all very well vetted in other bands around the Netherlands. I know that the drummer is from the band God Dethroned, and I haven't listened to them too much, but from what I've heard, they're a pretty amazing like death metal band, but they have more melodic elements in it. And this record, the second record from Apophis, Devaratus, was released on Ultimate Massacre Productions, and that's a Czech Republic based record label. And, and this came out January 22nd, so just, you know, a couple weeks ago. So what'd you think about this one, man?
They're pretty cool, like kind of the modern day death metal.
Mm-hmm.
sound, with the lots of kind of technical guitar work.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, this is, for me, when I first listened to this, I was surprised, because you turned this on to me and you said, oh, they're, you were like, can we do this, can we do tech death? I'm like, well, of course we can do, you know, anything to, like, break the mold of some of the stuff we've been, you know, just try and branch out and some of the stuff we talked about.
Yeah, for the first, we've usually just done, like, kind of sludgy doom metal and ambient music.
Yeah, and I've been rusty. I've been so rusty with listening to death metal as of late. But this record, what blew me away is that it has that tech death element, but it doesn't have all the guitar wankery that typically comes with tech death that I've listened to. I don't know how you feel about that stuff, but there are certain tech death bands that just, you know, it gives me a headache after a bit, because there's just too many sweeps and noodly guitar, and these guys don't really bring too much of that to the front, which is mm-hmm. really nice. But yeah, these guys remind me a bit of this melodic death metal band, or a death metal band by the name of Anata. And yeah, these guys play a pretty interesting breed of this style of music. So their first record, Prime Incursion, was actually a concept record. And this one, Devoratus, is a concept record as well. But
that was the most interesting part.
Yeah,
that I found out.
Yeah, but apparently, so I read their review with the vocalist of this band on No Clean Singing, and the vocalist noted Prime Incursion was kind of the start of their mythos or their story, and he kind of described it as, think of like a cyborg army, like, making landfall for an invasion on this foreign world, essentially. Or it was kind of to the effect of, this is like the first contact, the first incursion of, you know, invading this planet. And then I'm guessing, I haven't been able to figure out all the lyrics yet, but I assume Devoratus is revolving around kind of the battle that takes place between these two warring alien factions.
That's what I got out of it, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it's funny, because at first I was like, huh, their titles kind of seem maybe science or space-based.
Yes, yes.
And, like, one of my favorite bands is Allegiant.
Yep, yep, for, yep. Like,
the longest time, and they're all about science and space.
Oh, for sure.
So I'm like, huh, this might be interesting, which is really what kind of turned me on to them in the first place.
Yeah, yeah. So what about the album in specifically stuck out to you when listening to it?
Let's see, there's about 9 tracks. Mm-hmm. A lot of them, like, none of the songs were bad, but a lot of them kind of just kind of molded into each other.
Yeah. It told a good story, and what I like about this in particular is they're pretty goddamn good at locking into grooves. You know, they're not all blast and tech and in your face. Like, they have some really slick, like, drum patterns and some really head-banging riffs and some real mm-hmm. cool guitar work and, you know, interplay between the instruments that makes it an engaging listen.
Hands down. Like, they had the, you know, the typical double bass and the chuggy guitars.
Yeah, yeah, for sure, for sure.
They incorporated it with some pretty unique stuff.
Yeah.
I really liked the Parasite song.
Oh yeah,
I don't even want to attempt that first part of the song.
I think it's like Zyox. Parasite.
That's what I was gonna think.
Yeah,
but yeah, it kind of starts slower and it has more of like a progression to the song.
Yeah, I thought,
and then
yeah.
it builds into the, you know, the traditional kind of brutal sound.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I thought I that was one of my favorite tracks as well. Kind of how it almost felt like a parasite, like this infection that was like slowly spreading throughout a bloodstream or something, and then it kind of builds up into this, you know, the more traditional, you know, it kind of has that slow burn feel, and then it kind of catapults into this tech death onslaught, or this death metal onslaught. But yeah, there are these really just a lot of neat grooves, and they splotch a lot of like tremolo riffs, kind of black metal-esque style riffage into their songs, just to kind of accent and play with stuff really well.
I like the track 6-2, Respite, the interlude.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of has this, like, build up where it kind of sounds like, I don't know, two forces are marching towards each other.
Yeah.
And then it goes into, like, another dreamlike melodic guitar sequence.
Yeah, yeah. I was actually really... Well, I thought that that was pretty great with... Because I always, when I write reviews or I talk, you know, I talk about records, I always use the word respite to say, like, oh, this is a nice breather. And when they named the track title Respite, I was like, oh, great, this is like a band, like, this is the first time I've seen a band use it, not just, like, funny. Generic, like, interlude. They're like, oh, Respite. I was like, that's
exactly. They give you a break from the brutal to get ready for the next half of the brutal.
Yeah, yeah, and I think that they use the interlude quite well in that the first, it's what, five-ish songs or six songs until we get to the interlude. It starts to get a little tiring just because it's just such a brutal attack of death metal. Mm-hmm. And once they kind of come in and, you know, give you a small break before the shitstorm starts back up between these two factions.
Well, I noticed in the track after the interlude, what will be, it kind of has a different tone in the vocals, at least.
Oh, interesting.
It's kind of, to me, it sounded like, it was kind of like a monologue almost, maybe between like the two leaders of the alien forces.
Yeah.
Like, it was more of like a chant and like it was more of like a delivery of speech.
Sure.
In a way.
Sure. No, that's good to pick up on. I started to piece that together, but that's interesting. And yeah, I really like the vocalist's delivery. They kind of have more traditional, kind of like the guttural, the death growls, but they also mix it. I think it's the same guy's voice, and they just mixed them together.
Two different styles.
Yeah, like they kind of do the guttural, and they kind of do the more rasped, a little more high pitch, and it kind of they kind of layer on top of each other really nicely and make it a little more engaging to listen to.
Well, it kind of reminded me of Santa Cruz local band, A Band of Orcs.
Oh.
You know, they had their whole storylines on their albums, but they had the more deep traditional death metal growls.
I see.
And then they had a more high pitched, more kind of aggressive.
Interesting.
In your face screams.
Yeah.
That's exactly what this band made me think of.
For sure. Yeah, I haven't listened to them enough, but I would say on this album too, I'm pretty much a sucker for anything that has, you know, just like really awesome, like headbanging riffs, kind of like with really awesome drum patterns, or really just the one song that really struck this album, like that really got me to enjoy this album, was Deadlock. I think that there's just like this really slick, groovy drum pattern that comes somewhere. I can't remember exactly where in the track, but that's like the one song that really caught my attention when listening to this. But if you like, you know, death metal, in especially modern death metal, and you know, you like it a little more technical, a little, you know, it doesn't have too much of that over the top guitar playing. It's very well constructed. It's how do I say this without it sounding bad? It's like tech death, and it almost sounds mechanical in a way because of how precise it is, but it doesn't come off as, you know, it doesn't come off as robotic as a lot of other tech death bands I listen to are. That's usually like the biggest turnoff for me in tech death. Just how it sounds so perfect and precise and clean and overproduced. And
it's perfectly thought out. Yes. And like every little thing is just set in the right spot.
Yes.
And, yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah, and there's just an atmosphere about it too. It's just it has a very cosmic, planetary vibe to it. Like it just feels huge when you listen to it. It just kind of has like this epic awesomeness to it.
It sets a good backdrop to think of the concepts of the alien forces.
Yeah.
going to war.
Yep. No, it really does. It really serves it well. Yeah, and these guys destroy their, yeah, their instrumentation is really good, and I'm curious to see. Oh, well, first off, I need to figure out what the damn lyrics are so I can read more about it.
Same.
But I'm interested to see where this mythology or this story will go next with, you know, with their new release. That'll probably be years away, but still. So would you recommend this one to folks?
Yeah, if you're down with tech death, go for it. It's a nice little thing to listen to.
What do you think we should play for folks?
I mean, I really like Ziox, The Parasite.
Okay.
But I also like Deadlock. So
okay.
Let's go with one of those.
Okay, we'll play a bit of a clip from Deadlock, since I'm just such a sucker for the groovy stuff. But we'll play a small bit of that for you folks. So that leaves us with, I apologize if for botching this, Hezalel, and this is In the World of the Anesthetist. I had the hardest time saying that word aloud when I first listened to this record. I don't know why. I could say anesthetic, but anesthetist for some reason just kept...
I don't even want to hear myself say that.
Oh, man. So Hezalel is a project helmed by Steve Fabry. He's a Belgian musician. And this record, In the World of the Anesthetist, is his second release under this project name. His first release is titled Falling on Earth, and that came out on Depressive Illusions Records. And this current one came out on, crap, I usually botch this one too, Kalpamantra Records. And this one came out April of 2017. So, what'd you think about this one?
First off, just going off the track titles and just kind of the feel of the whole album.
Mm-hmm.
I swear this has to be like a score for, like, I don't know, like a movie or a video game or something like that.
It definitely gives off that vibe. It's very cinematic.
Uh-huh. Like, there's this flow to it that's telling a story.
Yeah. Yeah.
Especially with the song titles.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, it's very unique with most ambient we've been talking about.
For sure.
Especially with the... You'll hear a lot of organ-based ambient.
Yeah, and that was something... I don't know if I'm just oblivious to the music scene in dark ambient, or if this is pretty unique. This is the first time I've come across something where... So there's this track, I believe it's called Return of an Old Enemy, and it's like pure organ-based. Like, it's like a dark ambient track composed entirely of organ, essentially.
Uh-huh.
And when it kicked in the first time, it actually scared the crap out of me.
I actually have a really dorky story to tell you about that.
Uh-oh.
So, you know, here I am. This is probably like the sixth time I've listened to the song, which makes it even more sad. Here I am, stupidly playing PUBG, even though the game's very, It's probably good to listen to just the game's audio, but I was like, you know what, I'll listen to some music too.
Sure.
And here I am, like, wandering through, like, the little village, and all of a sudden the organs kick in. And I'm like, oh, shit. And I'm like, cue the pants crapping.
Yeah.
So startling.
Yeah. It comes in out of nowhere, it seems.
It's just like, whoa.
Yeah. No, but this record is really, it's really well put together. Definitely a thread of a story running through this. And it kind of, so like a general premise that I got from it was something to the tune of, you know, you're put under this anesthetic and you get lost in the dark confines or the darkest confines of your mind, and you face your deep-seated horrors throughout a stretch of this, and somehow you're subject to this, you know, this sort of psychotic trauma where you're willfully watching somebody do something to you, but you have no control or feeling of what's going on, despite how horrendous it actually is.
Yeah, I can totally see that.
Yeah, it's a strange, it's such a weird, it's weird in like the best way I can say. It's such a, I don't know, like, so let's go, like, let's just start with the opening track. Like, the opening track, Breaking Reality, is kind of this dreamy opening, you know. It kind of has like this massive, expansive feel to it, and then it kind of envelops you in like this ambient numbness. It kind of makes you feel comfortable and at peace. It reminds me of Sana Abruin a little bit. Somebody I've done a review for and spoken with, you know, and it just has like this deep well of emotions kind of running beneath it. Something ephemeral about it. And then you get to the second track, Welcome in My Nightmare, and on the surface, for at least the first half, it kind of has this warmth that appears inviting to you, but as the song kind of pulls you along, it starts to kind of drag down into this slimy undercurrent. Yep.
Gets darker in tone for sure.
Yeah.
You kind of hear like water dripping.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The slimy cave feel.
Yeah, maybe that's like the drip of the anesthetic. I don't know how they apply anesthetic, but maybe that's like the drip of you being in like somebody's, you know, like a doctor or some, you know, some like facility where you're put under or something.
Grimy facility of evil.
Yeah, yeah. And then the following track, Alone in My Own Limbo, is kind of, you know, there are some real deep organ bits that are going on in the background, but it gave me vibes akin to Flowers for Body Snatchers in a certain sense. Like, it was kind of like this desolate, dark, dingy sound, and there were like these clangs that were kind of protruding out from the blackness.
Yeah, and then you get to Return of an Old Enemy.
Yeah.
And that's where the evil really kicks in.
Yeah, and I don't know exactly what that could be referring to, you know, the Old Enemy, if like that would be something akin to, you know, weird, like a deep-seated fear or something, you know, like something irrational or something that you just can't face, but like, unless you're under, you know, you only see it in your nightmares. But I don't know.
I mean, it could be up to the listener themselves.
Yeah, yeah, no, for sure.
It's their worst enemy.
Yeah, and that was something that stuck out to me about this record, is I don't know exactly where Steve got this idea, if this was like a personal nightmare of his or if this was like a personal story that he was trying to tell, but this record really feels personal when you listen to it, in my opinion. Like, it made me feel uncomfortable in certain ways, and kind of you know, it just kind of welled up some feelings, some interesting feelings, some of the darker stuff that I
well just The next like track's title, Syringes Instead of Fingers, yeah, creates quite the image.
Yeah.
Seeing this kind of disturbing doctor with syringes coming at you.
Yeah, and that and the song pairs with that really well, because it's, you know, the sound itself is it seems like this mechanical nightmare of like barren drones. Like it's just very barren and malignant and disgusting and horrific. But yeah, and then you listen to, you know, you kind of get dragged along through this limbo, you know, the recesses of your mind, and you're kind of, you know, subject to all these different torments that you really can't, you know, you're not in control of. And then the closing track, Back Under the Rain, is kind of this indelibly sublime, though depressive, kind of sound. Like it's almost like the feeling of waking up from a nightmare and realizing that it was a nightmare, and you're kind of like reassured that, you know, it's not as bad as you thought it was.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, what'd you think of, were there any other moments in particular that stood out to you? I feel like I talked a little too much on this one.
It's all good, man. I really like the way to get out, track number 9. I found it to be kind of almost like the creepiest song, because they have like the women kind of like singing a weird little...
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that bit. Chant. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's the soft drone of kind of high-pitched reverbs coming in and out.
For sure, yeah.
I'm not even going to put in my own dorkiness back into this again. It kind of reminds me of like The Flood in a Halo level or something.
Yeah, for sure. Are there any other parts in particular, just like overall insights about it that you liked?
I really just loved how it kind of just told a story, and it felt like you're experiencing just a movie in your own mind in a way.
Yeah.
Even the last song, it kind of like made me think of end credits. Like the credits mm-hmm. are rolling and just, mm-hmm. just Back Under the Rain, and the story just ended, and here you are just kind of reflecting on what you just watched.
Yeah, and it definitely leaves open a bunch to interpretation, and that's really kind of the beautiful, you know, that's kind of the essence of dark ambient for me, and that's one of the reasons why I love it so much, is just, you know, being able to compose these mosaics of sound that are, you know, indescribable, essentially, but the track mm-hmm. titles are able to give you just enough to kind of piece together what, you know, what's going on.
Yeah, this sparks your imagination and takes you on an adventure.
Yeah, a really scary one.
Yeah, they're usually nightmares.
Yeah, yes.
That's what makes it even more interesting.
Yeah, definitely. Would you recommend folks check this one out?
Yep. It's a good ambient one. It's got a unique sound where it's not the... I know, it stands out more in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah, there's something...
Especially when it comes to like the kind of the horror ambient sound.
Yeah, and that's something that I feel like I'm going to need to kind of bulk up on going forward. But this one, yeah, it definitely gives you this sense of dread throughout. Kind of like there's... Yeah, like... Like a nightmare, like in the beginning, everything seems like it's okay, but there's kind of like this seedy underbelly of things going on. And then once it peels that layer back, it's just kind of it's just a nightmare from the moment you realize it is until the end. But yeah, highly recommend folks check this one out. What do you think we should play for folks? I don't know if we should scare them with Return of an Old Enemy, the Oregon track.
I mean,
we could.
It's definitely the most unique one in my opinion, but up to you, man.
Okay, well, let's go ahead and we'll give you a small taste of that track, Return of an Old Enemy.
Thank you. listening to Voices from Corners Unknown, episode 4. I hope you enjoyed it. Leave us some feedback.
And thanks for listening.